Oregon Representative Pam Marsh of Ashland introduced the bill HB 3167-3A into the state legislature. It's called the Fan Fairness and Transparency Act, and it's designed to protect consumers from deceptive ticketing practices at entertainment venues. The bill was supported by leaders of the Brit Festival, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and other entertainment groups. The bill recently had a public hearing in the Oregon House Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee. Joining the exchange to tell us more is Oregon State Representative Pam Marsh. Welcome.
Good morning.
Also joining the conversation is Abby McKee, President and CEO of the Brit Music and Arts Festival in Jacksonville. Welcome, Abby.
Good morning, everybody.
So, Abby, I actually want to start with you to help lay out the problem. What has been your experience with fraudulent ticketing?
Well, there are a number of different problems, Mike. You know, this is a layered issue, and really the bill addresses a number of these issues. So first of all, we have what we call speculative ticketing, which is when folks put up a ticket for sale on a third-party resale site, and it's a ticket that doesn't necessarily exist or they don't have their hands on it. We see this at Brit a lot. We make an announcement for a series of shows, but tickets aren't available for sale yet, and yet you can go on some of these other third-party resale platforms, things like StubHub and SeatGeek, and you'll find the tickets are available for sale. You'll also find that those tickets are available for sale at a far higher price than what the Brit ticket ultimately will be. So then there are additional types of ticketing fraud, things like folks who are selling multiple copies of the same ticket, and there's no way to verify that your ticket is real if you're purchasing on a third-party reseller. And then beyond that, there are folks who are just marking tickets way up sky high. And so we've got a series of issues here, and HB 3167 and Representative Marsh have done a beautiful job of addressing many of those issues to protect our consumers and protect our relationships with our patrons.
Well, that's a good segue. Representative Marsh, tell me about the bill.
Well, first I'll tell you the story that got us into this this work. My chief of staff, Paige, went out sometime last summer to buy tickets to take her grandchild to production at the Criterion. Was the four-year-old's was to be the four-year-old's first live performance. It was going to be The Little Mermaid, which is very compelling for a four-year-old. The child was very excited. And once Paige got it all arranged with the kiddo's mom, she realized she better get on the stick and buy these tickets so that everything would work out. She went on her phone, went to what she thought was the Criterion's website, and found that the tickets to The Little Mermaid were $75, which seems sort of high for what the production was. And she was also told that there were very few tickets left. She knew that she had to make this transaction happen. So she went ahead and purchased buy and spent $225 for three tickets. Later on, she started to wonder about this transaction and went back and looked again and realized she had not been on the Criterion website. She'd been on a fake website. She'd spent three times as much for these tickets as the Criterion was selling them for, and there were plenty of tickets there. So we started in this office, nothing like the fury of a legislative aide to get legislation going. We started looking at this issue, and then fortuitously, we got hooked up with Abby and Britt, who were looking at it from the point of view of a venue, because it is both the consumers who are attending these events and the venues who see an interruption of the relationship between the customer and the venue when a reseller steps in with these deceptive practices. So we've had this terrific partnership moving the legislation forward.
So Abby, how does this deceptive ticketing, I mean, we're talking about phantom tickets and fake websites, how does that impact your customers and your bottom line?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting for us to be following up on your prior news story around the potential defunding of public media. You know, for arts organizations, nonprofit arts organizations, of which most of our community organizations here are nonprofit, we have two streams of income. It's earned income and then, of course, contributed revenue. And as we're seeing federal funding drying up, you know, we become even more reliant on our earned revenue. And that earned revenue is entirely based on our relationships with our consumers, with our patrons who go and buy tickets and come to us. So those relationships for us are sacrosanct. We really do our very best, all of our local organizations, to provide kind of a boutique customer service experience. when a patron goes online and they think they're buying a ticket from us, first of all, there's this mythology suddenly that those tickets have gotten unbelievably expensive because they're being upcharged by a predatory reseller. But beyond that, often they'll arrive, and this happens literally every single Brit show. They will arrive and we will scan the ticket that they have purchased, and it's invalid. It's a ticket that didn't exist. It's not a real ticket, or it's a ticket that was sold multiple times. And that patron, regardless of the fact that they purchased it from a third-party reseller, the perception is that's their relationship with Brit. That's their relationship with us, and it's a betrayal of that relationship with us. So for us, really kind of championing this cause is about making sure that we're protecting that very, very sacred relationship with the people who built this organization from the ground up in this community, and also who provide the ability for us to do all of our programs through earned revenue.
So you're managing trust with your customers despite those who are trying to disrupt that.
Exactly.
Representative Marsh, you told me why what led to introducing the bill. Tell me about the bill itself.
Well, the bill does a number of things to protect consumers and safeguarding the integrity of venues, as Abby described. I'll just run through a list of those things so you can get an idea of the breadth of the bill. The bill requires ticket sellers to disclose all fees up front so that you won't have the experience of putting your credit card information into a website and then finding out that the dollar amount being charged for that ticket was actually much greater than you thought it was going to be because of additional fees. Very often consumers in that situation simply hit go or buy because they have been worn down by the process of going through a complicated website arrangement. So we're requiring that fees be disclosed up front. So before you put your credit card in, you know how much that ticket's going to cost. As Abby described, the bill prohibits speculative ticketing where resellers are listing tickets that they do not actually own in many cases that have simply not even been released yet. The bill prevents resellers from using domain names, photos, logos that could mislead a consumer into thinking they are buying from the venue's website. So you can't use Brit's logo or something that looks like the Brit's website in order to sell tickets. The bill requires clearer labeling so that when you are the purchaser, you know exactly what you are buying and that you know that you are buying from a secondary marketplace. Those are basically the changes the bill makes. The bill also provides an enforcement mechanism classifying violations as unfair trade practices, and that allows for private rights of action to be pursued either by consumers or by the Department of Justice.
My guests are Oregon State Representative Pam Marsh and Abby McKee, President and CEO of the Brit Music and Arts Festival in Jacksonville. Representative Marsh, I hear you about this bill. I'm not sure I understand what the penalty is for unscrupulous ticket sellers who violate.
Well, the Unfair Trade Practices Act is the mechanism really that's available on consumer issues. It gives consumers the ability to take a vendor straight to court and to claim a loss with them. It also provides an avenue for the Department of Justice. So if you have a situation where there are many consumers who have been duped, lots of money that's been essentially captured by the secondary ticket sellers or an unscrupulous entity, the Department of Justice can also step in here and issue fines and enforce the law, essentially. It's not a super easy path. You know, consumer actions are challenging to pursue, but we are confident that this is the path that's available to us, so we're taking it.
Do we know how widespread this problem is and perhaps have a dollar amount attached to it across the state?
I have not seen a dollar amount. Abby may have seen more cumulative numbers. You know, part of the challenge here is that this is an underground economy in many ways. We simply don't know in many cases who's buying these tickets, and we certainly don't know how much they're paying for them. We have lots of evidence that they're paying in many cases much more than the ticket would be available at the vendor. I told you my story about Paige and the extra $50 a ticket that she paid. I think Abby has a story where people purchased tickets to Willie Nelson at $1,500 for a ticket that was available for $159 from the venue.
How is that possible?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Ticket out here.
Tell me that story.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so, you know, we have this. This is a problem for every single Brit show, and I think Representative Marsh really hit the nail on the head. This is an invisible economy. You know, people are buying tickets, bots and resellers, often in other states. So we have a lot of folks who are buying in, say, Chicago or somewhere in Florida, and they'll come online and they'll purchase a big batch of tickets, and then suddenly those tickets will be marked way, 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 way up. And so we don't have, first of all, we don't have the ability to know who purchased those tickets. So let's say something happens and we need to send a last minute alert to the patrons who are going to be attending the show. Let's say the showtime changed. Let's say the opening band changed. Let's say there's a weather incident that people need to know about. We don't have the contact information for the ultimate concert attendee because the person who purchased the ticket is somewhere else, is in Chicago. So that's one of the bigger kind of challenges of this. And we really want to encourage people to buy direct from Brit. But beyond that, yeah, to Representative Marsh's point, people are putting these tickets up for an astonishing amount of money. So Willie Nelson, we had tickets available at $159. It was the most expensive ticket that we've had in the last several years. And we had a patron who was duped and paid $1,500 per ticket. And luckily we were able to help her. We wrote some documentation for her. She managed to get her money back through her credit card company, but it took months and months and months. And in the meantime, we were able to get her into the show. But that is an extraordinarily rare situation for us to be able to make that happen. And luckily, it happened because she advocated for herself very, very early. But, you know, we have people. I had a board member last year who accidentally was duped by a website masquerading as Brit's website and purchased lawn seats to our movie with orchestra, which last year was Star Wars, this year's Jurassic Park, and paid $150 for a lawn seat that was $15 on the Brit website. And so this is a pervasive issue that is also sucking money out of our local economy and not really helping artists or venues at all. It's really highly predatory.
So we have about 90 seconds left, and I know this is a big question, but here it is. What happens if this bill fails?
Well, if this bill fails, we will bring it back. It is not unusual for bills to take a couple of tours through the Capitol before they finally become law. However, the bill has passed, as you noted, through the House committee, and it's passed on the House floor. It's now over in the Senate, so we are going to have a hearing very soon in front of the Senate Business and Labor Committee, and we are over there talking to people. There's a lot of awareness of this issue, a lot of sympathy for it. So we are cautiously optimistic.
Is there anything the public can do to help support this legislation?
Absolutely. They can let their legislators know that they care about this bill. Again, the bill's gone through the House, so don't worry too much about your House members. But if you're passionate about this issue, look up your senator's email address and send him or her an email. Let them know.
So, Abby, what's the contingency plan if this bill doesn't make it through?
Well, you might notice we actually just redid our entire website and brand. So part of that was to try and elevate our awareness. We moved to Brit.org instead of Britfest.org. You can still get us both places. But we're doing everything in our power to increase public awareness of where you need to go to get a ticket. Where do you go to guarantee that you're getting a valid ticket? Putting major resources behind that and just kind of constantly trying to remind the public and educate the public to make sure you're buying directly from us, to make sure that your dollar stays in the community, you're getting the best price, and you're getting a valid ticket.
That sounds like a great plan. Buy local. That's all the time
we have. Buy local.
Thank you both. Thank you, Representative Marsh.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
And thank you, Abby.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks, Representative Marsh, for taking this on.